Welcome back again for the second time this month for yet another episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars with me, Garrett Weinzierl, her, Jenny Josephson, and him, Tom Merritt. Welcome back, you other two.
Oh, hey, it's so good to be here.
Yeah, so this this came about as if anyone, you know, regular listeners know, we usually do this once a month, but this came about via not panicked.
Overly... As regular listeners know, we struggle to do this once a month.
Yes, yes. But we also struggle to keep our excitement contained. So D23 is still kind of like trailing on, isn't it? Is it officially over? I don't know because I didn't go. But
I think it's probably done by Tuesday now. I think it's finally done, but I don't know either, really.
Yeah, but anyway, the D23 Expo happened, and we just recorded an episode where we were sitting here going, oh, no trailer. But we got a behind-the-scenes trailer or teaser, whatever you want to call it. So not an official trailer, but this thing is just jam-packed full of Last Jedi awesomeness.
So many clues. Happy. So yes. Many things.
A lot of clues, a lot of things, a lot of pausing for half of a second of a new Rey costume.
Now, what's funny is they show these beehive huts in the very beginning of the trailer, which you might think, oh, wow, that's a pretty cool set design, pretty cool constructions. I don't think these are the same ones I saw, but I saw almost exactly the same thing when I went to Ireland for the first time. And I'm guessing these are actual constructions from like the 800s or before by monks who just built these little beehive huts. And I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't some on Skellig Island or that they went somewhere else in Ireland to film them.
There are some on Skellig Island that look exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I distinctly, and the only reason I know that is because of leaks from Force Awakens when Skellig Island was leaked as a location. My buddy and I just sat there trading photos of Skellig Island.
Looking at everything
on
Skellig, yeah.
And he sent me all of these.
Maybe it's just a reminder of that old gangster, Skellig the Hut.
These are the huts on Skellig, yes, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. The huts have a presence.
It'd be Skellig the Huts.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The huts, yeah.
Oh,
I'll be here all week.
It. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm slow. I'm just now getting why that's not funny.
Oh, snap, Wexley.
Thank you to my friend Abby for that tweet earlier this week.
Yes. All praise to Abby for that. That made my day too.
Yeah. So that one, you're right. You're right. You do not have current day artists to thank for that, that set design. You have, monks that are no longer among us, or are they?
Then we get a nice shot of Landspeeders. Like this looks like it's the Landspeeder lot where you go to buy your Landspeeder.
It does. Although honestly, the first time going through this, I thought they might be pods for pod racers because those left two look like you could just, you know, bolt on some airplane engines.
As long as there aren't any announcers, I'll be fine.
that's what put you over the edge was the two-headed announcer.
That's
it wasn't Jar Jar getting his tongue stuck in the power coupling.
Yeah, I think this is actually probably a parking lot, though, and it would make sense for it to be a parking lot on Canto Bight. Although this parking lot is way less crowded than the ones in Vegas.
Yeah.
This to me looks like a back lot where these are probably not being shot as is.
You're probably right. This is probably exactly what that
because
is.
We're seeing
this is behind
casters.
The scenes after all. There's a crane in the shot, for goodness sake.
they're making a movie. So they're going to the Star Wars equivalent of a Los Angeles back lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a movie inside the movie. Are they making the made-for-TV movies about the Clone Wars?
Yeah, yeah.
That I've long suspected.
Yes, so Ewan McGregor will return to play an actor playing his version of Obi-Wan. It'll be very meta. It'll be lovely.
I just keep watching this GIF of the red soil blowing up over and over. It's the most soothing thing I've ever seen.
And now I'll ruin it for you because I was here's by the way, I love that I have a group viewing story for this. By the way, it was as if freaking Star Wars came out. It was Saturday night. My friends, Abby, who made the Snap Wexley tweet, her husband, Ben, came over for our Star Wars RPG session and we're making dinner and Abby's just screaming at me, like, have you watched it yet? Have you watched it yet? And I was like, no, no, what are you talking about? She's like, you fool. It's behind the scenes trailer day for Star Wars The Last Jedi. So we all grabbed our drinks. We all huddled around the TV, launched the YouTube app and pulled it up. And Jenny, as that scene with the red rock and debris, you know, firing towards the camera operator was happening, my buddy Ben just goes, and that's a Wookiee exploding.
No, oh, no, no.
Yeah, I hope that forever ruins it for you like it did for me.
No, we have seen the trail of red dust from the spaceships in the previous teaser trailer, Garrett. So I'm fairly certain that's what this is, not Chewbacca blood.
Don't bruise the bridge of your nose pushing your glasses up that hard.
I just admire the professionalism of this camera guy who just stands there, especially like, in the GIF. He just stands there over and over again.
It makes me wonder how many times this happened that it was just he or she was just this accustomed to having a ton of debris fired in the face. But
now we don't necessarily need to go point by point through all of this.
Oh, but I kind of want to.
Well, I want to jump ahead. And if you guys want to and go back and catch one of the scenes I'm skipping over, Luke getting the lightsaber from Rey, that is a moment that is in this behind the scenes. And what's crazy about it is not only is Luke getting the lightsaber from Rey, but of course, because Luke has an artificial hand, Mark Hamill's actual right hand is just covered in motion capture tape.
Yeah, which is not how I expected to see the next 5 seconds of the end of The Force Awakens, by the way.
Yeah.
Was unfinished. Someone taking, a camera shot of a camera shot.
And he's taking it with both hands, too. Which, yeah. I don't know why that fascinates me, but I kind of expect him to just kind of reach out and grab it with one hand. And obviously she comes closer to him to do this. I wonder if there's a little dialogue before that or what.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a point where he, I don't know, refuses the lightsaber, right? Because we see Rey wielding the same lightsaber in the short trailer that we have for The Last Jedi, and not to mention that very first sneak peek we saw of Rey with a new haircut on toy box art. She's still wielding. Mm-hmm. You can see the hilt close up. It's right there. So Luke has to refuse this saber, but who knows why? I mean, my assumption goes to nothing but bad memories, nothing but horrible things comes from this lightsaber.
Look, if you went to the lengths that Luke did to construct your own lightsaber after losing your hand, you're not giving that one to the trainee. You're like, you know what? You could take the old one. That's fine.
Oh, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I mean, there's an argument to be made for sentimental value. And yeah, there's a discussion we have not had on this show. Luke's got to have a new lightsaber, right? Because he chucks his green one down the Emperor death tube at the end of Return of the Jedi. He's got to have a new one. Oh,
good point.
Is it blue or is it green?
Maybe he doesn't even have another one.
Oh, that's possible. He's become,
you know, because he's like, I'm over a Jedi now. I'm not even going to have one anymore.
Or he's become so powerful he doesn't need one.
Oh, are we going to see? I didn't even think about this. Jenny, are we going to see lightning come out of Luke's fingers?
Oh, my God. That would be very scary. You know, and that brings me to the other thing that freaked me out about some of these reveals was that Luke, the first poster I saw for this, Luke is in Emperor Red. And so are all the other cast members. And I'm like,
well, there you go. You followed
it up.
You
don't use that color without like meaning it.
Yeah, but you
know, it was very nerve wracking for me.
You know Adam Driver at D23 again, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily working. I mean, he's working, but there's not like some big projects that he just couldn't get away from.
Yeah, I don't get that at this point either. I mean, we've seen quite a bit of Kylo now, especially after this behind the scenes sneak peek, and it's like I don't know why he's staying out of the public light. I mean, there's all this talk about how he didn't want to mingle with Mark Hamill in between takes, so I don't know, maybe he's just he's gone full dark side and he's just
method acting to interview. Yeah. He's become actually evil.
Yeah,
when in order to fit the role,
when the interview goes poorly, he takes out his sword and he slashes he the monitors them. yeah it just breaks everything up.
I wonder if there isn't another big reveal about him in this movie. And after the first round of press where he couldn't say anything, he just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm just not going to go on the press tour if I can't say anything.
Yeah, I don't. Or maybe instead of frustration, maybe he just doesn't trust himself. Maybe he's just like, guys, you don't want me in front of the camera.
Because there is going to be that moment where Rey says to Kylo Ren, I am your father.
Whoa. Well, in all seriousness, we know there's
I'm not doing too good on theory crafting right now. I apologize.
Yeah. In all seriousness, we know there's some sort of connection between them.
Definitely. Definitely. There's something. Some cousins, something. I don't know. And this picture of Kylo Ren here, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a Darth Vader cloak. Whether it's actually Darth Vader's cloak or not, whole separate question, but more and more trying to emulate grandpa.
Right. It doesn't have the same it's more laying on his shoulders. Vader's was more cape like and was connected by a chain, and I don't see a chain. It is a wide shot, but I'm a Darth Vader nerd. Mm-hmm.
But doesn't he know that Darth Vader turned good at the end if he was being trained by Luke?
I hope that is addressed in this film. It's got to be, right? Like Mark.
Myth.
Mark.
It's a myth. Snoke just tells him, like, didn't happen. They want to. Huh. They tell you that lie, but where's the evidence that
Because we're gonna
let's teach the controversy.
Because I bet you, if it's gonna fit in anywhere, it's gonna be Luke training Rey, and I bet you there's gonna be a scene where Luke is telling Rey the story of the fall.
Further question. Why can't a force ghost of Anakin Skywalker just pop up and be like, dude, you are on the wrong path. I am your grandfather. Take off the stupid helmet.
For the same reason that Obi-Wan's ghost didn't go hang out with Darth Vader and go, hey, Anakin, come on.
Stop it. Stop it.
Cut this out. Cut this ish out. I hope that's addressed as well, right? Because we didn't see a single Force ghost in The Force Awakens. So maybe...
I'm okay with that.
No, I'm okay with it as well. I just think it's got to be planned, right? And we know that they were considering having an Anakin / Vader ghost show up because of the art.
Supposedly, yes.
But it was cut for whatever reason. I wouldn't be surprised if it was cut for a plot point. Like, if you're never going to show another Force ghost, I think you need to explain why there are no more Force ghosts.
Right. Is there like a Force ghost expiration date? Like, at a certain point, they like cycle out past the point where they can, you know, range back. Well,
okay. Obi-Wan learned how to do it because Yoda gave him the instructions from Qui-Gon. Why did we never see a Qui-Gon Force ghost then is another question. But maybe Darth Vader doesn't know how to do it. Like, just because he's dead doesn't make him able to be a Force ghost.
Nobody taught him.
Canonically, so Vader or Skywalker.
I know we see his Force ghost at the end of the special edition. Okay.
Not even the special edition. It was in the original, and it was the original actor to play Vader.
Talk to other Force ghosts? Yes, right?
You mean like Force ghost coast to coast?
This is taking us very far down a path, and I'm sorry, but I just like
it's your fault, Jenny, and I'm totally okay with it. By the way,
Yoda and Obi-Wan were able to pull Anakin's Force ghost into the scene there at the end.
All right.
I mean, they certainly look like they're interacting with one another at the end of Return.
I'm sure there's all kinds of special rules on when you can manifest as a Force ghost, and that's why they couldn't manifest to Kylo yet.
Sure, I buy
it. Like, you have to believe, or you have to be good at heart, or something.
Well, they're kind of.
Have taken Force Ghost 101 on the internet to get your license.
Now you got me thinking about it. This is a problem that almost needs to be solved, sort of like the dawn of cell phones in modern cinema.
Yeah.
So many movies have to invent a reason for cell phones not to work or to not be there. And that's kind of what Force Ghosts are for Star Wars.
Force Ghost position is a classic Star Wars maneuver.
I'm comfortable that Force Ghosts can't just always appear. Otherwise, Obi-Wan would have like showed up standing on the X-Wing, right? He only could be a voice in Luke's head.
Yeah.
In Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking there's like, oh, well, that you can't, being a Force ghost isn't like just, you know, I can walk in anywhere and talk to anybody I want. There's conditions that, you know, must prevail for it to work.
Right. little rules, like more Jedi rules.
Yeah. Oh, the Jedi. They're so about rules.
Oh, the Jedi.
I'd assume there's a length of time between dying and becoming a Force Ghost. Although then again, Anakin showed up pretty damn
Anakin
quick.
Anakin ruins everything, you guys.
I need some lore that explains that Anakin was pulled into an appearance by Yoda and Obi-Wan and can't actually manifest on his own.
Or he was, because he was such a more powerful Force wielder than
And Force Ghosts can't appear to people who are on the dark side or something.
Yeah. I sense a book coming out, Force Ghosts and How to Find Them by J.K. Rowling.
Force Ghost Hunters.
I would read the hell out of that. Force Ghost Hunters will be one of the offshoot movies, and it'll be a Steadicam shot in the style of Cloverfield with a lot of night vision lens.
Love it.
It's going to be
Force Ghost Force.
It'll be fantastic. You'll never see it. There's a robot chicken skit there somewhere. Anyway, to pull out of the Force Ghost dive that we just went into. One of the things I'm the most excited about, drumroll please, new A-Wing designs. We get to see something besides an X-Wing for the good guys. I'm still a little disappointed there's not a new B-Wing to be seen anywhere, but it's fine. It's all fine. These new A-Wings look great. Anyone else here a vehicle
nerd? There's the old and new A-Wings. I kind of love that.
Is there an old A-Wing?
Yeah, there's a red. There's going to be red ones, too.
Well, I see the red one, but it's definitely a new body design.
Oh, okay.
It's the old paint scheme.
Maybe I'm mistaken then.
Yeah, it's got a longer hood, if that's what you could
call
it.
We get our first look at Benicio del Toro, who seems to be in some kind of First Order situation.
Or, as it's commonly known, as he's otherwise known, Ezra Bridger.
I am so not buying that.
I saw some rumor that said that people were excited because they thought DJ might be Ezra Bridger, and I was like, I don't think so. But it also does look like he's about to celebrate a very British Christmas, one or the other.
And BB-8's in this shot, apparently. You can see like just the top of his head.
Yeah,
there was a comment. I don't know who made the comment, but there's a comment by somebody involved with the film today, I believe. No, looks like 2 days ago, confirming that no, Benicio del Toro is not Ezra Bridger.
Fine.
Benedict Cumberbatch is not Khan.
So. Yep, there it is.
There you go.
Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that, Tom?
No, I don't think he's Ezra Bridger.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, coming out and officially denying something doesn't necessarily make it not in this world.
Fair enough. I don't know. I wasn't buying in it before they tried to hand wave it away.
No, I really didn't. It's almost because they hand waved it away that I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why are you objecting so much? Like, this is a silly theory anyway.
That's a fair point.
Also, we see Rose and Finn disguised as First Order officers. There's a rumor that there's a scene where Finn gets congratulated on the promotion.
Is there? Really?
That's the rumor, anyway. That's not confirmed.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, he's. I love all the new costumes. That's one of my favorite things to do. And anytime there's a new Star Wars anything, is go through and look at all the new costumes. The only thing that trumped it in this particular video were all of the new creatures, more than a second. But I love Finn's jumpsuit. This it's like an off, more earth tone orange instead of the Dayglow orange that most X-Wing pilots seem to prefer.
Yeah, and Rose's First Order outfit doesn't seem to fit very well, which makes sense because she must have stolen it from somebody, right? So,
yeah.
Wouldn't make sense for it to always fit. Also, they moved Kylo Ren's scar. Are you guys okay with that?
Did we already talk about this? Did we not already
talk about it before, but you get a really good look at it.
Yeah. Again, I'm fine with it, honestly. I think I've said this before. The old scar looked dumb. It was dumbly placed, considering this is fiction and you can choose where to put your scar to make it look cool.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about that, find Scar Talk or some other podcast.
Let's
talk about Scar Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm just here for the puns, guys.
If you guys
well,
could
then
see.
You must love the way this entire thing finished with Akbar saying it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I did, and frankly, I needed that because this whole thing was such an emotional roller coaster. I needed a really dumb Cartoon Network level of humor at the end of it to just be like, okay, go get things done, and don't just sit here for the next 6 months waiting for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. Finn and Rose in what looks like a prison, where Finn seems to have his Poe jacket on, not his secret, his First Order uniform. So I'm guessing they break out of prison and disguise themselves. There's, you know, like you said, little creatures like some Octo creature, little cutie that's going to sell all kinds of toys.
There's a what looks like a seal bird thing, like a seal penguin.
And then every shot of Carrie Fisher that rips my heart to every time I see it, especially the one of her and Mark Hamill dancing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, that's all I want to say about that. Is that every time I see her, I'm just like, oh, God, this movie's going to wreck me.
Yeah.
Like, it is going to be a different movie now. It's strange.
No, you're absolutely right. I couldn't help but think in my second and third and fourth and fifth rewatch of this about, you know, all the shots with Luke, I'm like, wow, this really is going to be Luke's movie. And then immediately back to, oh, and the third one should have been Leia's movie.
Well, and to that point, we did get a good look at Laura Dern's Vice Admiral Amelyn Holdo meeting Carrie Fisher. And that moment in this trailer got me thinking, could they make Vice Admiral Holdo take the plot that would have been Leia's in 9? Or is that just too odd and is she too unrelated? I mean, we have no idea where this 8 plot is going, so it's so hard to say. But I'm like, well, here's a character who is a high-ranking resistance military officer. So it seems like a natural way to have the story have her pick up the baton, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's in my mind, two main ways that, or two routes that they could take, right? Like, either somebody has to fill the void and carry on the mantle that the character of General Leia would do, or all of that kind of just happens off screen and we don't address the fact that Carrie Fisher.
Well, then they have to change that entire story.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Because apparently 9 was going to feature Leia as the main actor and motivator. Oh. So,
yeah, but I'm curious.
Can you imagine, like, just to not to go down this rabbit hole, but like, think about the choices. Like, if they had made a decision to hold off on the Luke and Leia reunion until episode 9, if we don't get one in episode 8, there isn't ever going to be one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, there's a picture of Luke and Leia together offset.
Yes.
Which implies that they were at least shooting at the same time.
Yes. I thought a lot about that when I saw that.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, downer. Apologize.
No. I mean, it's all thoughts, I think, running through the head of a lot of Star Wars fans. I mean, my question is the way they handle it is, you know, if the role of Leia in the third movie was mostly about the military side of her career as a general and less about her connection to her son Kylo, then yes, I think it could be carried on by another character. But if you know, a good chunk of it had to do with her and her struggle with Kylo, there's no other character that can fill that void except for Leia.
Yeah.
I mean, you could kind of give it to Luke as uncle, but it's not the same.
No, it's really not. So it's just, I keep reliving the damn tragedy over and over again from a selfish Star Wars fan angle and from a fan of Carrie Fisher as a human being. So, anyway, back to the fun things. And this was basically the stages I went through watching this damn thing. So excited and heart ripped out. So happy, so excited and heart ripped out. Back to the fun critters. Now, I mean, it's not much more to say there. Why do we think Kylo smashes his mask?
He smashes everything else.
But why the mask specifically?
Well, we see multiple masks, one of which is smashed. Maybe he doesn't smash it. Maybe he gets in an accident.
Actually, tie this back into...
Wait a minute. He drop the mask down? The Starkiller Base.
He didn't drop it on the well. He dropped it on the bridge itself. You can in other.
But he doesn't have it anymore when he runs outside.
No, so. He doesn't. So it was probably lost. But
maybe it gets damaged in the Starkiller Base and somehow gets recovered. I don't know.
Well, there's a shot in the trailer of the mask or the helmet just completely obliterated on the floor of.
It's like broken in half.
A First Order facility. Which makes me think that he was recovered or he had backup masks. Who knows?
Yeah, but. Obviously he had backup masks. One of these looks like, I don't know if it's a trick of the light, but one of them looks like it has gold piping instead of silver too.
Yeah.
Maybe you just wanted to upgrade.
I think it's just, it looks like honestly reflected light, and the one in the foreground looks like it has matte application to where the metal accents usually, or the chrome accents usually are.
Yeah,
because it's a little more banged up. But to tie it back into the question we posed earlier of did anyone ever tell him what happened to Vader? Maybe that's after he found out the truth.
No, I don't know why everybody's hung up on that. Like Snoke tells him like, no, he never turned good at the end. That's a lie. Boom, done. That's all you need. That's all you need to do. Kylo wants to believe that.
Yeah, but okay. I'm just curious if it was Kylo that breaks his helmet, it would make sense that it was
Luke was something. Training Ben Solo. Luke probably already told him that.
Mm. Yeah,
and then he decides that Luke was lying to him.
Unless the Force Ghost Anakin shows up and tells him to cut out the foolishness, and then his hero is forever killed, and he no longer wants to, you know.
I want to see a Force Ghost Ahsoka Tano show up.
I want to see actual Ahsoka Tano show because she ain't dead.
Yep. Amen.
She's pretty dead.
She ain't dead.
We didn't see her die, but she's not going to be alive.
Dave Filoni doesn't die. That question mark went away on his t-shirt.
Well, all right. Okay. So since we've reached a lull in the trailer talk, let's talk about Star Wars hotels.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Yeah.
Oh, the whole theme park. Disney Star Wars Land looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we already knew this was coming, but we got to see the miniature. I'm so glad they still make these things. I'm happy they still bother making a miniature.
But here's my question. Okay.
How much will the blue milk be? Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's probably
no, there high. Will be blue milk.
$7.
Here's my question. Number one, selfish 40-something-year-old Jenny, while she loves that Disney is in fact for kids, has such a strong attachment to the Star Wars universe that the idea of like screaming, crying, sunburned kids all around the Millennium Falcon depresses her. Is that bad?
I'm assuming you just didn't go to parks as much as I did growing up because it hadn't even crossed my mind because it just goes with the territory.
Yeah, but I totally know it goes with the territory of parks, and when it's Dumbo's flying ride, that seems perfectly appropriate. When you're actually trying to pull off a Star Wars land, so that's one thing, right? So like it's the intrusion of the real on the place of my greatest, you know, imagination fantasy. And then in the hotel, it's the opposite. Like the hotel that they're going to have like real things for you to do. And it's sort of like a Westworld type. Excuse me. I get worked up thinking about it. Then it's the fantasy intruding on the time when you just want a nap. Like if your air conditioner doesn't work in your Star Wars hotel room, do you have to go on a quest to find the guy to fix it? Like, that's the part where I'm like, I want these things to be.
No, you go switched. And you pick up the communicator stick and you say, hey, C-3PO, turn back the air conditioner on in room 155.
And 55 minutes later, some guy comes up and goes, hey, I'm C-3PO, let me see your air conditioner.
So, so your first reaction to Star Wars Land and the idea of being able to live for days on end, well, not too many days, but you know, at least a couple of days.
As long as your wallet
in the Star Wars, constantly in the hotel, is it won't be perfect.
Yes.
I can't help you, Jenny.
Yes.
I cannot help it. Actually, I can't. I do have a point to make. I actually have a lot of points to make because I've been to every park in Orlando probably 20 times at least. The big thing is, Jenny, I will yield to the universe having to deal with sunburnt Massachusetts dwelling tourists. It just in joke. It's always folks from the Northeast who are getting sunburned because they don't know how to deal with the Florida heat.
We get people from other places here, but sure,
like places like Washington State and stuff like that. I will yield crying babies next to the Millennium Falcon for the flip side of that, which is pure joy from seeing things that shouldn't be there that are just unintentionally hilarious. Like the first time I ever went to the Harry Potter park at Islands of Adventure in Universal Studios and seeing just jacked up Affliction t-shirt wearing UFC bro dudes running around waving wands in freaking store windows. It was worth every penny I paid to enter that park because it was hilarious.
I can back you up on the Harry Potter here at Universal in LA. The first time I went, they're screaming kids and all of that. But it didn't matter. Like, they did it so well that you just kind of blocked that out. And you're like, well, I could not be looking at this amazing, you know, Hogsmeade replica or I could be looking at it right now. And to me, it's better to have it than not to have it at all.
I think I'm only going to go at midnight. I think that's going to be my solution. I will only go to Star Wars Land in the dark.
Okay.
I don't know. This is a very deeply rooted... It's a hard thing. It's like the Dark Tower movies, not to get on another tangent, but it's like the Dark Tower movies. Like, do I want there to be Dark Tower movies? Yes, maybe less so after seeing the trailers. Like, if a thing is so ingrained in your mind, is it possible that it could have just stayed in your mind?
You can
make
the same argument about the toys, though, right?
You can make the same argument about the movies. When you go to the theater, I'm sure you have had people...
defensible.
Yeah, I'm sure you have had people ruin your movie-going experience, but it doesn't mean that you don't want the movie to exist. Actually, I think a more akin comparison is going to a fan conference. So going to Star Wars Celebration, there was so much wrong with that conference. I could write a book about it. But being in a room with that many people dressed up as stormtroopers, dressed up as X-Wing pilots, so that when you're waiting in line for a freaking hot dog for 10 minutes, yes, that sucks. But the person in front of you, the person behind you, and 20 people back are friends you didn't know you had.
Okay, I will totally cede to being the Sith grump on this one. I think that's a fair assessment, but I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Plus, for me, it just boils down to Diagon Alley, which West Coasters don't have here in Florida.
Yeah, I know.
Blew my mind to the back of the park when I went and saw it. And it didn't matter how crowded it was, how hot it was. None of that mattered. They just did such a good job recreating it that I really want that for Star Wars.
Well... yeah, until your toilet overflows in the hotel. God, well, you know what? I really need a nap. Here we go. I'm just mean.
Here we go, Jenny. Here's how you handle that. You beep them on the communicator.
Yeah.
A knock at the door. Door slides open Star Wars style, and there's an astromech droid.
Ugh.
That informs you please go and enjoy the ship's many amenities while they fix it. And then in the meantime, while you're not there, someone actually goes in and fixes the darn thing.
Oh, well, no, that's a great solution. And if a droid comes to fix my toilet, I'm all in.
All right. Done. If I can be entertained by an overflowing toilet,
If an overflowing toilet incorporates its way into this hotel.
All right.
Storyline.
Okay. Now that we've ungrumpy Gus Jenny, let's talk about this actual hotel, because I have seen the word Westworld thrown around so many times.
That's a dangerous word to throw around a family-friendly hotel, I feel like.
Yeah, but, there are images of Twi'leks running through my head in bad ways.
Bad way.
Yeah, but it's they're building it. This was rumored, about a month ago, 2 months ago, from some surveys that went out about a Star Wars hotel that you'd go and stay in, and you would have to dress the part, and nobody would break character while you're in there, except possibly other guests who, you know, aren't good at live action role playing. And there would be no windows. The windows would just project the galaxy, so on and so forth. And it turns out they're actually building this darn thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what would make it better for me is a set of virtual reality goggles so that I, or augmented reality so that I could walk through the hotel and see all the amazing real life stuff and then just have it filter out anything that does not compute. Also, if it's in line with other Disney hotels, it's going to be $700 to $900 a night and none of us will get to go.
Oh, I will put myself deep into debt. I'm doing this. I don't care how long it takes.
All right. Well, maybe we should all go at the same time and just have like a super immersive experience and you guys can prove me wrong.
So, yeah. So to me, this was the scene in Jurassic Park where the lawyer just goes, we're going to make a fortune with this place. That, except for me, I didn't need a full-size Brachiosaurus. I just needed a very well-marketed live-action role-playing Star Wars experience.
All right.
I mean, I love Star Tours as small as it is. And I love just walking through the line to get there and feeling like you're in a little piece of that. And granted, the line takes you out of it in reality. Like you wouldn't have people in line walking through there, even though they try to make it feel like a spaceport. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what they've got going on. The fact that I can walk in here and the landscape, it's not just going to be asphalt. The place is going to look Tatooine / Jakku like. I'm excited for it.
All right. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
What about the hotel itself, Tom? Is that something that you would?
Yeah, I'd want to try it. Like Jenny says, it's probably going to be priced real high. So
yeah.
I don't know if I'll drop the cash on it or not, even though I'll want to. But I loved the freaking Star Trek experience at the Las Vegas Hilton, where you just, walked into a shuttle, had a little scenario, ended on the Enterprise Bridge, and then got beamed back to Quark's Bar. And that's in Las Vegas, where you're like, talk about taking you out of it. The fact that Stream Las Vegas takes you out of it all the time. But that was so much fun. And so here's an entire wing of Disneyland for that. Yeah. I'm all into that hotel experience if I could swing it.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that as well. And
here's what's going to happen, Jenny. You're going to go to the hotel experience and you're going to love being immersed so much that when you go out to the park, you're going to get real mad at everybody else who's not in.
Yep. 100%.
All right. So we have already planned Jenny's Star Wars vacation itinerary for her. Park first, hotel second.
Yeah.
Good idea. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. And we're going to put you up at like a Motel 6 or just some no name mom and pop
for the first night. Yeah.
Bates Motel the first night. And it's a really, really just.
Do they have a Bates Motel experience?
I would not want that experience. At 3 a.m., someone just tries to murder you.
Yeah. Don't take a shower overnight. Just saying.
I'm also hoping
or
they
do.
And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will start selling adult-sized Jedi robes in the park, and you're going to have this weird side effect, just like with the Harry Potter parks, where you're going to go, you're going to be walking around, and half of the people attending are going to be in costume, and they're not going to be cast members.
Well, because you throw on a Jedi robe, I mean, that's all you need. If you didn't plan, you just buy a Jedi robe and cover yourself up. Boom. It actually keeps the sun off you, even though it's a little hotter, and now you just look like you belong.
Yeah.
In fact, there should be time periods where it's like a restaurant where they require you to wear a coat. You must be in costume or wearing robes.
Well, that's part of what they're talking about with the hotel is that when you stay at the specific resort, is you will be given the proper attire to wear so that everyone walking around the spaceship, quote unquote,
is in costume.
Your Princess Leia bikini, pool hours, 7 a.m.
Here's your Princess Leia bikini, sir.
Yeah. you really need to go to the Harry Potter parks, Jenny. You clearly.
I know. We haven't been yet because it's been so hot and the sun burns. It burns precious.
Has it been so hot for like 7 years? Because that's how long it's been open.
The Harry Potter park here? No, it just opened like a year ago, right?
Oh, you poor West Coasters. Man.
Less than 2 years, I think. Yeah.
I know.
I remember as a kid being so angry because you had the Indiana Jones ride and we didn't. And now I'm just looking over at you like, ha!
Hey, guess what we still have?
Yeah.
Have you been to Disneyland, Garrett?
I go every time I come out for BlizzCon.
All right. Fair enough.
It's a lot smaller. Your castle is hilarious. But it's an original.
Don't make me have to defend Disneyland.
It's the original fake castle. Yeah. So all of our listeners in England right now are just like, come on, guys. Come on.
Do you have a room where Walt lived?
Probably.
No, but they have Walt's actual head buried under there. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it'll fire off into space when the
I know it's not true. Stop the email right now.
Just stop typing. Stop it. Stop it.
It was a joke.
Yeah. But whatever.
You're Tom Merritt.
I'm with Tom, by the way.
You are perpetuating the myth
that Walt Disney's head is going into space.
We all know that it's Snap Wexley's head.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. Was there anything else? Anything else in the world?
That is pretty much it from D23 as it pertains to Star Wars.
Well, I look forward to tomorrow when the trailer drops. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I feel like I was panicking, and I shouldn't have panicked. You get the teaser at Celebration. You get the behind-the-scenes trailer, which gives you a bunch of information about the show if you want it, at D23. And then a full trailer will launch during Monday Night Football or something in this fall. So it's going to be fine. It's just fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
The time December rolls around, we'll have 1,700 different versions of the trailer for TV spots and international, and we'll be swimming in it.
Yep. Oh, last thing I forgot to mention. Real quick, rapid fire. There was a shot in the tease or the behind the scenes where Daisy Ridley is fighting against three opponents with swords. So face off with Knights of Ren confirmed.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's an outside possibility that it's three other people, but that seems the most logical explanation.
How many people have lightsabers?
Yeah.
Finn had one. For a while,
it was the same lightsaber though. Yeah, they bring back the droids from episode 3 that had the staves that could actually duel with a lightsaber.
Well, yeah, and you got those new stormtrooper staffs with the claws at the end.
Oh, that's right.
All kinds of cool.
You're right. We did see
long weapons.
We did see that make contact with the lightsaber in the fight against Finn, and it didn't cut through. So you're right. We already have a canon weapon in the Force Awakens timeline that can go toe to toe with a lightsaber that's not in itself a lightsaber. So yay! I like those type of factoids. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this extra episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars. Hope you are all losing your mind and going frame by frame like I was, and I'm not alone. Keep writing in to feedback@letstalkaboutstarwars.com. And around the table, Jenny Josephson, where can folks find your work?
You know the places and the things. Try at Jenny J 23, JENNIEJ 23. That's where things to be talked about ultimately will be talked about.
I expect to see a very long piece from you on when you realize it, what happened in your childhood that makes you hate theme parks so much.
No, I love theme parks. You get me all wrong. I love theme parks. I went for years and years and years. And we got an annual pass to Disneyland. I'm just saying it's different with Star Wars. I'm a little more possessive.
That's a fair reaction. Tom, how about yourself?
I'm looking at this picture again. The three people with the swords are holding them with two hands.
Yeah, they're lightsabers.
Those are not lightsabers.
Oh, you mean like two hands like this?
Yeah, they're like their staffs. Those are stormtroopers.
Yeah. All right.
All right, I'm going back to it now. Going back to it. Where did
she's got a lightsaber. They've got big, long wooden poles, and they're holding them with two hands.
I mean, they're pretty... An argument can be made. They're pretty far down on those staves. They could just be getting lazy because they're fighting with training sticks. And they're
pretty far, that one on the right.
Argument can be made. And who knows?
Right. Ooh, are those little things that the stormtroopers had with the little hook claw on them designed to go over the top of a lightsaber and like snap it? Do you see that in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
interesting.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. We saw a new weapon. Yeah,
a new weapon.
Yeah, that's the thing I was saying with the claw.
Tall and had a claw. Could that not hook over a lightsaber and either pull it away or somehow nullify it?
Oh, mm-hmm. I was thinking you were talking about the riot baton, the riot trooper from Force Awakens that fights Finn.
Oh, no. There's a new one in this behind the scenes trailer.
Yeah, and now I know that's what you're talking about, but that would be very interesting. And the hand placement matches up. That's cool. All good points. I will continue fighting with, we don't know that the other three members of Knights of Ren even have lightsabers.
Good point. Fair enough. We don't. And to answer your question, TomMerritt.com.
That was the most long-winded, where can folks find your work, Tom?
Yeah.
Ever. Awesome. I am at Garrett Art on Twitter, amove.tv for everything else. See you next time. May the Force be with you.
Always.
But not for a year if you're under 7.
Aw, love the younglings.